This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Miravis Neo, the next game-changing fungicide from Syngenta. Markets are under some pressure this morning. There's a couple of exceptions. Feeder cattle trying to claw back from the recent price slide, and beans are trying the plus side of unchanged. But honestly, after hearing Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross say the U.S. and China are still miles apart from a trade agreement, the markets really aren't doing that bad.
From the studios of Farm Journal, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll chat with Greg Lumsden from Cargill, Lillian Bowen from the Nelson Academy of Agricultural Sciences Online, and we'll get a quick update from Greg Henderson from Drovers. I'm Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Hey, how you doing this morning, Davis? Hey, I don't know if you've noticed, but it's cold, it's getting colder, and the wind is blowing.
Here's my secret. I just stood outside in my bathrobe for a while last night and just allowed myself to completely numb from head to toe.
Okay.
And I'm happy there. You know, I don't feel a thing. I feel great.
You don't feel a thing.
Not a thing.
If you do that for 30, 45 seconds, people are just going to say, oh, isn't that funny? Look at him. If you do it to the point that you're numb, Davis, people are really going to start to question you.
They've gone too far?
They may make a phone call or two, try to get you some help. I'm just saying.
Here I thought I was breaking boundaries in medical science.
No, not really.
I did notice my toes are a little bit blackish.
Yeah.
Now it's like half my foot. Yeah.
Yeah, ooh. That's a problem. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's life here in northern Iowa in the end of January. So
winter finally caught up with us. Time to pay the fiddler.
I tell you. So lots going on in there in the markets. Like I said, we've got corn under a little bit of pressure. Soybeans are trying the plus side of unchanged. Cattle are under pressure. Hogs are under pressure. The only thing in the livestock markets that are trying to work to the upside, we've got some strength in the feeder cattle market this morning. Wheat prices under pressure. I'm a little surprised by that after the way that they performed yesterday, Davis. I thought we might be able to get an extended upside recovery going in the wheat market, but today it does not appear to be in the cards. And the reason I'm thinking that is, you know, I'm following that European wheat trade very closely, and we've seen some strength in the European market.
You bet.
We've seen some strength in Russian and Ukraine wheat prices, and I thought that would have been enough to keep us going to the upside here in the U.S. wheat market, but so far, not a lot of support from that.
Yep. Well, and we've had all kinds of news coming out of, you mentioned Russia specifically, and it's kind of this on again, off again, raise again, lower again, whatever type of a deal. I wonder if the market's just having a hard time digesting, you know, what actually is the situation over there.
Yeah, believing anything that's coming out of the Black Sea region right now. Right.
Exactly.
Right. Hey, before we get to Henderson, what's going on in the news?
Well, Chip, the Senate will vote today on two options for ending the partial government shutdown. Democrats would reopen all agencies at previous spending levels for 15 days. The Republican bill would add a three-year extension of some protections for undocumented immigrants who arrived as children. It would also allocate $5.7 billion for a wall on the southern border. Each bill would require 60 votes for passage. Both are expected to fail, but the votes themselves are the first show of agreement between Senate leaders on some form of action to address the shutdown. Meanwhile, House Democrats are working on their own border security funding proposal, which could be a part of a full-year homeland security bill. The plan is expected to provide more than Trump's initial $1.6 billion request for border barrier construction, but less than the $5.7 billion revised request. Quote, "We are prepared to spend a very substantial amount of money," House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer said Wednesday. The coming plan includes no new funds for a physical wall. Representative James Clyburn, the third ranking Democrat in the House, said the money could be used for smart wall technologies, Chip.
Yeah.
That would include drones, x-rays, and additional border agents going hi-fi on the border.
Yeah. And maybe that is the right approach. I mean, this is way, way, way over my pay grade on it. Yeah. But we've talked before about the definition of wall or barrier. Mm-hmm. It is a bit of a moving target right now. trying to figure out exactly what the administration and exactly what lawmakers would accept as a definition of wall.
Right.
So,
right.
By the way, and there's an outside chance that this can happen, and he's working hard to make it happen. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if it's going to or not. I don't think it's going to at this point. But Congressman Henry Cuellar from Texas was scheduled to be on the show today.
Yes.
He's on the House floor. They're doing some votes right now. More than likely, he's not going to be able to join us, but there's an outside chance. Yeah. He really wants to be on, and we really want to have him on, so we'll hold it open for him.
Yeah, but he's moving and shaking right now. We've got to let him work.
That's White House
Acting Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney has reportedly asked agency leaders to prepare a list by Friday of critical programs that would be jeopardized if the shutdown continues into March or April, Chip. President Trump said in a tweet late Wednesday that he would give his State of the Union address when the shutdown is over. Earlier in the day, Trump said he planned to deliver the address in the Capitol next week and would seek alternative venues. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi opposed his plan, saying, quote, there is no venue that can compete with the history, tradition, and importance of the House chamber.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
When it comes to giving the State of the Union address, that is absolutely true. That's where it should happen.
Absolutely.
Yesterday afternoon, we kind of joked a little bit about maybe you do it at the border, maybe you do it. Wherever else, but the House chamber is where it should be.
Yep. And quickly, House Republicans name their agriculture committee members for the new Congress. The GOP newcomers are Representatives Dusty Johnson, Jim Baird, and Jim Hagedorn. Former Chairman Frank Lucas will no longer serve on the panel, nor will senior members Bob Gibbs and Mike Rogers, who is now the top Republican on the Homeland Security Committee. Chip.
Yeah, Frank Lucas, I'll guarantee he'll be back on at some point. When we need another farm bill, he'll be back on there.
That'd be great.
I guarantee it. Let's bring in Greg Henderson, editorial director at Drovers. Greg, how you doing this week?
Good morning, Chip. I'm great.
Good, good, good. Hey, real quick, see you next week down in New Orleans, right?
Yes, we'll be there with bells on. Looking forward to cattle convention.
Yeah, yeah. Greg will be on with us a couple of times while we're down there in New Orleans. What's going on with the Packers right now in slaughter capacity?
Well, actually, Sam Cain Beef in Corpus Christi filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy this week, and they're going to be allowed to keep operating while they restructure, which is very important. We've talked about slaughter capacity. Right now, Packers are running at about 90%, Chip, and that compares with a five-year average of about 84%.
Right.
So it's up 6%. So what's that mean? Well, if we look at prices back in 2015, Packers were slaughtering at about 80% of capacity. Chip, if you remember, those prices were for fed cattle now, were in the mid-150s.
Right.
And now we're about $25 per hundredweight below that. So if Sam Cain Beef were to shutter, that would be just less than 1% of the capacity. It's not a big deal, but when you're running at 90%, it does add up. And all those southern Texas feed yards, there's about 30 of them. They're going to have to ship their cattle to the panhandle. It's going to, create more expense, so forth. So it is a big deal.
Right. Greg, this is where when we talk about demand, there's demand for beef, but there's also packer demand for cattle.
Absolutely.
And that really drives your cash market. Packer. And if we're – go ahead.
Packers have not been aggressive the last 2 weeks because they've got cattle and they're running at capacity.
Yes. Yes. Big, big change in attitude among the Packers out there. Thanks, Greg. We'll talk to you next week, man.
Thank you, Chip.
All right. That is Greg Henderson, editorial director at Drovers. When we come back, you know what, Davis? Get ready. Let's do one powered by Pro Farmer next on AgriTalk. Each year, disease has a significant impact on yield and plant health in soybean acres across the Midwest. If you are a grower looking for new fungicide options, listen up here. Let's talk with Eric Tedford, Syngenta Fungicide Technical Manager. Eric is here to tell us about Miravis Neo Fungicide, the latest tool for white mold and leaf spots from Syngenta. Eric, what makes Miravis Neo a good option for soybean growers?
Yeah, Miravis Neo is a new fungicide. It's a combination of three active ingredients, and all three active ingredients have broad-spectrum activity against the fungal diseases that attack soybeans. So Miravis Neo contains this SDHI chemistry called adapidin, what that brings is a new level of disease control against difficult-to-get diseases of soybeans. And so growers now have a fungicide for soybeans that will control QOI-susceptible and resistant frog eye leaf spot, as well as target spot and brown spot and white mold, to name a few. In addition, adapidin in this mix also provides plant health benefits that help soybean plants withstand some of the plant stresses above and beyond disease control. And as you know, Mother Nature isn't always kind to soybeans, and it brings hot and dry or cold and wet conditions that plants have to endure. And two of the active ingredients in Mirvis Neo fungicide help mitigate these stresses and allow plants to better recognize their genetic yield potential.
Gotcha, Eric. I mean, it makes all the sense in the world to me. A new level of disease control, reducing those disease stresses on the plants, just allowing those plants to do everything that they possibly can to put on yield. Thank you so much. That's Eric Tedford.
Oh, hey, bro. I'm an off-brand filter, so I am under-engineered and made from cheaper components. So dust and contaminants, they're your problem, bro.
John Deere filters. Don't risk it with anything less. Get 10% off your John Deere filter packs at your John Deere dealer or at johndeerestore.com. Offer ends February 28, 2019 on filter packs for subcompact and compact utility tractors. Some restrictions apply. See participating dealers or johndeerestore.com for details. johndeerestore.com available in U.S. only.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Grow smart with Liberty Link and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
We're live on the red carpet, waiting for the next generation Credenz soybean. There he is.
Oh, Ed, look, it's Credenz Liberty Link GT27.
I know, Edna. He's got elite genetics.
You gotta love his 4 bushel per acre yield advantage.
And he's both Liberty and glyphosate herbicide tolerant.
Definitely the year's hottest performer. Ask your Credenz retailer about the new Credenz Liberty Link GT27 soybeans.
Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous 1-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
First-generation farmers are a special breed. Farm Journal business editor Ana Lisa Laca helps these ag unicorns tell their story on a new podcast, The First Years.
It may have been hard, but there's a lot of good things that came out of it. A lot of time we spent together and our kids, I think, were better for it.
Join me each week as I chat with first-generation farmers and ranchers who have what it takes, grit and determination, to start from nothing.
The First Years with Ana Lisa Laca is available where you access your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, and now the new AgriTalk.
New Dallaro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you achieve personal best yields.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Hey, Davis, here's one that I was going to save for this afternoon, you know, since we talk more markets in the afternoon. But this one is too good to not share because it's got it's a heads-up issue. This is from at B Price 26. He sent it late yesterday. Said winter weather taking its toll on Archie's corn mill, ADM. Opened 17 hours today and has pushed basis to just 5 under the March.
Wow.
So MIG Inspection tweeted yesterday, ADM Cedar Rapids hours for Thursday, Jan 24, have been changed to 4 a.m. to 9 p.m. Tell me, do you think they need some corn?
It sounds like they might need some corn.
Yeah, especially with that basis push.
Yeah. Is a 500 basis gonna get the job done? Is it gonna open the bin doors?
You know what? There's probably some guys down there in line right now that are listening. If you if you're moving some corn into Cedar Rapids today on that basis push in the extended hours, let us know. I'd sure appreciate the heads up.
I would love to hear from you.
That's right. That's right. Let's do one of those powered by Pro Farmers, okay?
Well, sure. I got one right here if you're ready.
Good. Do it.
All right. Well, this is powered by Pro Farmer from First Thing Today, U.S.-China Trade Policy Update. President Donald Trump says he likes, quote, where we are right now, but he repeated his threat that tariffs will be substantially increased if there's no deal by March 2. But
wow.
Trump added that China very much wants to make a deal. He says, we'll see what happens. You know, fairly soon that the deal I made with them will come off and the tariffs will be substantially increased on China. Meanwhile, White House Economic Advisor Kevin Hassett said he believes a trade deal could be reached by March 1st. The January 30-31 talks between Chinese Vice Premier Liu He and top U.S. officials will be in-depth on economic and trade issues. That's according to China's Commerce Ministry. And the reports of consultations between the U.S. and China being canceled this week are not true.
Yeah.
A lot in there from our Powered by Pro Farmer segment.
Let's start at the end of that one.
Okay.
And the reports of consultations between the U.S. and China being canceled this week are not true. Well, mm-hmm. then if that's the case, we probably ought to be putting, what was it, 6, 7, 8 cents back on bean prices?
Yeah.
Because when we got word that it was canceled, that's how much we went down in beans.
Well, and I was unable to track down where that word of the canceled meetings came from.
Financial Times.
Do you remember from the Financial Times? Okay.
Financial Times. Yep.
Beyond them, I don't know where it came from.
Well, that's the Financial Times. And remember, we made the point that because it came with details, it made it credible, it made it easy to believe. The details were that there were two issues that we weren't making enough progress on.
Right.
Therefore, we rejected the offer of preparatory talks with China this week in front of next week's talks with China.
Well, and those two issues that you mentioned.
Maybe that isn't true now.
Yep, technology and some economic shifts that the Trump administration would like to see in China.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So speaking of next week's talks, Wilbur Ross was on, I believe it was CNBC this morning, I caught it, and number one thing he said was, it's a huge delegation, it sounds like, that's coming from China next week.
It's
not three or four guys. It's 30, 40
oh, wow.
that are coming. Yeah. Uh-huh. I don't even know how you manage talks with that many here to get things done. I guess I could lean on my old president days at the 4-H Club and break everybody up into committees.
Sure, there you go. That's using that 4-H know-how. Atta boy.
Break everybody up into committees and say, you handle this, you handle that. And I'm sure that's why China is bringing as many as they are in an effort to get as much done as they possibly can in a couple of days.
Yeah.
But while Wilbur Ross, U.S. Commerce Secretary, said that, he also said, but we're still miles apart in coming to an agreement with China on these trade issues. So
well, now,
a lot of work to be done.
Yeah, and it's been interesting to watch what sort of sentiments come from what source. You got Bob Lighthizer, and we're just now starting to understand his strategy of kind of massaging the situation. Now you've got Donald Trump, just from this story right here, saying he likes where we are right now.
Right. That's encouraging.
It is encouraging, but I don't know. It kind of like the Russian wheat situation. You know, Trump keeps coming out with these bold, positive statements. Now I was raised to be a positive guy. You say positive things, maintain a positive attitude, keep moving forward with a positive frame of mind. But it doesn't always necessarily reflect the reality of the situation.
Right. Right. And the reality of the situation here, Davis, is we've seen President Trump do this before. He'll throw some positive comments out there, and the next day he's throwing a monkey wrench into the gearbox.
Right.
and you got metal parts flying everywhere.
Yes, yes. I'm reading this with safety glasses right now. You don't want to steal shaving in the eye. That hurts.
That's right. That's right. Good for you. Safety first.
Safety first.
But the other reality here is what he said. If there's no deal by March 2nd,
yep,
that the tariffs on China will be substantially increased.
Mm-hmm. And as a reminder for the listener, that is the end of this sort of, would you call it a ceasefire? Trade truce while we try and figure this out. So nothing new has been added in this interim period here, this trade truce period, which will run up the 1st of March.
Right. So it was 90 days. It's the G20 meeting that took place down in Argentina, the DIS-1 dinner meeting that, if you'll remember what I said back then, was there was the way that they built up that dinner meeting, mm-hmm, convinced me that President Trump and President Xi have already come to an agreement on what the end package looks like.
Right.
What's in that final package.
Mm-hmm.
It's just up to the negotiators to get us to that final package with China looking good and the U.S. looking good. And
right. That's
not an easy task.
No, absolutely not.
Task.
Two very prideful, very powerful nations.
Right.
Neither of them wants to lose face. I get that.
Right.
That's fine.
Right.
I can live with that.
Right.
But we got to get commerce restarted here back to normalcy
right,
if we can.
Yeah. Yeah, President Trump putting off the State of the Union address now. It's being billed a couple of different ways. Mm-hmm. It's being spun.
Yeah.
It's being spun a couple of different ways. Obviously, from the Republican side of the aisle, it's being spun as it was the Democrats' way of taking away President Trump's voice.
Yes.
Really? You're taking away President Trump's voice? If he wants to get a message out there, he's either going to tweet it
or
he's going to walk out in front of the reporters.
Yeah.
I don't buy that. It's too easy for President Trump to get the attention that he wants when he's got a message that he wants to get out there. So mm-hmm, I don't buy that. Now, would it be nice to see him in a structured atmosphere, environment, mm-hmm, like the House chamber to address directly the nation? Absolutely. I would mm-hmm love to see that.
Well,
I
want
to see that.
Yeah. I think our nation needs to see that.
Right. Right. And on the, and even some on the Republican side are saying, well, Pelosi won this round. And
yeah,
on the Democrat side, it's definitely a message of, well, Pelosi won this round.
Mm-hmm.
It is nowhere are we hearing. It's a shame that we're not going to see the president address the nation.
Yes. Well, because he has we've highlighted this before, a number of successes.
Yeah.
That on some major issues that have completely flown under the radar. You know, think back to the Kavanaugh, you know, kerfuffle,
sure,
and how all of that captured the news. Meanwhile, there was other stuff going on under the surface. You know, it's like that duck paddling. You don't see those feet going, but boy, they are sure going. And he's got some stuff that he could really point to and say, now, I said I was going to do this, and here is my result.
Right. Right.
And, you know, if Pelosi, you know, quote unquote, winning means sweeping those feet out from underneath of him and taking away his ability to highlight some of the successes and some of the things that he's done really well and to make his case to the American people. Well,
if he wants to make a speech, people are going to turn out and listen to the speech.
They are. They are.
You know, I real quick, there's before we run out of time, which we're about to here, Davis.
Yeah.
One last point from the Powered by Pro Farmer item in this morning's First Thing Today.
Mm-hmm.
White House economic advisor Kevin Hassett said he believes a trade deal could be reached by March 1. That's good. That's trying to keep the optimistic tone in there. President Trump was optimistic in it. I think the Chinese leaders and negotiators that are coming to the U.S., they're coming here with an attitude that let's get this solved. Let's get it solved before March 1. Let's make sure that this doesn't escalate any further.
Right.
Greg Lumsden from Cargill coming up next.
When you think of Palmer Amaranth, water hemp, ragweed, and mare's tail, doesn't it just make you want to give them the pounding they deserve? Now you can with Dyflex Duo Herbicide. It's the post-emergence corn herbicide with two proven sites of action. So you get powerful control of the toughest weeds, built-in resistance management, and excellent crop safety. So don't just hit weeds. Pound them like never before with Dyflex Duo. Learn more at DyflexDuo.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
It's time to get dirt rich with new Poncho Votivo 2.0 corn seed treatment. The increase in microbial activity in the soil helps get more nutrients to the plant, and you get an average 3.8 bushel per acre yield increase over the original Poncho Votivo, all with the trusted insect and nematode protection you're used to. So be dirt rich, because that's smart. Ask your seed dealer for the new Poncho Votivo 2.0 today. Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
And joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Brian, soy complex, it's kind of trying to work to the upside. What's going on?
Well, more back and forth with the China trade talks and Trump's upbeat there. And Wilbur Ross was a little bit more downbeat this morning. But for now, we're trading about 2 cents higher in the soybeans and meals, a little bit firmer. Soy oil mixed with a firmer tone. So, like you said, we're trying to the upside. Corn and wheat is lower, however, and as a result, that's kind of pulling in both directions here.
Right. Last week was working really well for the feed yards out there, Brian. We had fed cattle prices pushing to the upside. Feeder cattle prices were setting back. This week, we're looking at an opposite situation. Just a correction here.
I think so. We talked about it moving to contract highs in the live cattle market last week, and since that point in time, we've pulled back and now kind of just consolidating, waiting on cash cattle trade to develop this week. It looks like, based on the initial sales, they've been light, but those initial sales are at lower prices, and we anticipate that the average will be down around a dollar when all's said and done here. But we still do have some time to go on the negotiations there, so we'll see where it all shakes out. We are seeing a little bit of strength in the feeder cattle market. I think that's just a correction because that one's been beat up pretty heavily recently and probably needs some time to correct here. And then the hog market, we're under some more pressure today. So from a technical standpoint, it doesn't look very good there in the hogs. They're taking more premium out and really removing much of that at this point in time and just not showing a lot of confidence that the cash market's going to strengthen.
Yeah, it does feel like a technical breakdown there. Thank you, Brian.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Your next piece of equipment is on MachineryPete.com. Search equipment from dealerships across the country to find what you're looking for. Only on MachineryPete.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm Chip Flory. That guy right there, that's Davis Michelson.
Who, me?
Yes. Yes. So, hey, when I started looking, I don't know if you know this about me or not, but I'm kind of into marketing and marketing philosophy. And,
oh, you are?
The educational side of that. Yeah.
That's very, very ethereal line of thought there, Chip.
Yeah.
Next level stuff, baby.
I am. So when I saw what Greg Lumsden, who is the product lead for Market Guide at Cargill, is doing with Market Guide, I wanted to have him on so that we could kind of talk about the philosophy of building a marketing plan. Let's go ahead and do that. Goal setting. How many of you use goal setting as part of your overall marketing strategy, making it part of your plan? Well, I think you should, and there are other people out there that think you should too. I want to talk about that, and I want to talk about I don't know if it's a new product, but it's a replacement product. It's called Market Guide at Cargill. And Greg Lumsden is the product lead for Market Guide at Cargill. He joins us now. Greg, welcome to AgriTalk. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Appreciate it. Thanks for allowing me to be with you.
You bet. You bet. So you talk about, first off, you need to tell us about Market Guide. What exactly is it?
Well, actually, as you said, it's pretty close what you described. I mean, it's a service that's been around with Cargill for going on about 12 years. We've recently rebranded as Market Guide. We used to be Cargill Ag Marketing Service, so yep. Some of your listeners may have heard of that before. But what it is we are a subsidiary of Cargill, so we are backed by and have access to Cargill's insights and information. But we work independently from the grain division, and our sole focus is just on, as you said, building marketing plans, helping our clients execute on sales, providing coaching and insights on the market, and you know, ultimately trying to help their marketing average and get the best price they possibly can.
Yeah, maybe the most important thing that you said for the listeners there, Greg, is that it's independent from the grain division there at Cargill, right?
Correct. Yep. So we, we have customers all over the Midwest. Obviously, some of them are customers of Cargill, some are not. And that's the benefit that we have is being dependent. Is we can do what's in our client's best interest, you know, regardless of where that grain goes, and make sure they're getting yep. the best opportunity and the best price for their grain.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, let's talk some concepts here, Greg, because I know that you're looking at a couple of different ways and trying to help. Trying to help your customers get over the emotional side of grain marketing, get over the deer in the headlight thing. And when you get right down to it, this goal setting is making your goals as part of your marketing plan, that's one way to do this, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, it may be cliche or people think, oh boy, this is another talk about setting goals and break evens, but it really, yeah. you know, is that important. Because there's so many factors outside of our control. There's so much information out there. As you said, people get deer in the headlights, we get paralysis, and you know, our best marketers and the ones that we have the highest degree of success know what those sales mean to their bottom line.
Right.
And they're disciplined, and they know where they're going not only this year, but where their operation wants to be in 3 to 5 years.
Right.
And it really calms down a lot of that emotion, and I've got to have 425 or I've got to have $10 beans, and it gets into more of I can execute and take some risk off the table here and lock in $100 per acre profit, so I'm going to move forward. So it really does help to have a plan and know what those numbers mean for your specific operation.
Yeah, and maybe more, in my mind, Greg, what goal-oriented marketing does is it turns, I'm just going to use numbers, I'm going to make numbers up, it turns $4.96 into $5. Instead of waiting
yes.
for $5, it's okay to go ahead and make those sales a few cents short because they're advancing you closer to reaching your ultimate goals.
Yeah, it's easy to say, but it's very yeah. difficult to do. But that is one thing that we talk about all the time is just understanding, you know, what is the real opportunity in the market? What's the market giving us? And so often we do get hung up on round numbers, like you said, yeah. $5, for example. And when you put it into context, a lot of times, you know, we will sell in 10 or maybe 20% increments. And if you yep. think about it, it's like, okay, one sale, if I give up 4 cents a bushel in your example, you know, what does that actually do for my overall average? It's meaningless. You know, it's really right. not even a penny per bushel.
Right.
But getting that sale executed versus having the market go back to, you know, where we are today is very significant. So a lot of people get hung up on those pennies and it costs you dollars. And that, you're right, that's critically important to focus on the big picture.
Right, right. And, you know, the point that you made about we don't want this to sound like it's a conversation about, you know, we're not talking about 4-H goals. We're not talking about FFA goals, although those were very important because they helped some of us understand how to set goals and how to react once you do accomplish those goals. But that's not what we're talking about. I mean, we're talking about finally putting enough money in the bank so that you can buy that 80 that's right next door when it comes up for sale. These are life-changing goals that in the markets that we're in now, Greg, in the blink of an eye, the opportunity can be here and gone just that fast. You got to be prepared, and you got to know why you're doing it, and these goals help you understand why you're doing it.
Yeah, that's you know, one thing that we talk about too with a lot of our clients is just the dynamics. You know, it's going to continue this way until we have, you know, a significant breakthrough either in outside markets with trade, and we all know about that, or we have a production problem somewhere. We're right in this level that we've got record demand, but we also have consistent record production. So until something, you know, big changes and we get into a new bull market, which we're all hoping and praying for, we're going to be in this time frame or this marketing environment where you have three or four times a year that we see these spikes, and a person needs to really take advantage and sell. And, you know, understanding when are those time frames, and we're in it right now with South America's growing season. You know, you're into the winter months. You need to take advantage and say, how much grain do I need to make sure I get sold for my marketing plan December, January, February, March? And then the next good time we got to look at is going to be spring in the U.S. and April, May, June. You know, making sure you have enough stuff sold in that time frame. And then the kind of the coup de grace or the last one we all hope for is that late summer, July, August type rally. And then we need to make sure we have enough sold, and then we're done for the year, and we can be patient. And like you said, too often, you know, people, we wait and we miss on that round number, and then we'll make up for it the next time. And the next thing you know, it's August, and it's like, oh my gosh, I'm 10% sold. I should have been 60% sold, and we're really behind the eight ball. So, you know, really identifying not only goals, but how much you want to get sold by when, I think is really important as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That goal-oriented marketing, it can take on a lot of different approaches. We're talking with Greg Lumsden, product lead for Market Guide at Cargill. Greg, real quick, what else is happening at Market Guide right now that we need to know about?
Well, with, you know, as I said, and then we kicked off the show that we've recently, you know, undergone a name change, you know, a lot of that is due to a lot of changes we have in our business right now. You know, it's really exciting, as we said, for all the reasons that we're talking about is, you know, margin pressure on the farm. We've seen that our customers are most successful, execute and follow our advice at the highest level. They need more service. They need more, you know, touches. So we've looked at revamping some of our tools. So we have some new tools that help set goals, which are called, you know, our Farm Maximizer program. To help with profitability and setting goals. And we've also recently gone to a team-based approach where you now, if you sign up with our service, you have multiple advisors working with you. So again, more contacts, more people looking at your position, following up with you when it's time to sell grain. So, you know, acknowledging that this is serious, we really need to put our customers in a position where they're better equipped to execute and understand these goals. And since we made some of these big changes in our product line, just felt like it was a good time for a brand refresh at the same time. But it's mostly I'm excited about is just our new team structure and, you know, our new tool that we have to help with some of these things we're talking about today.
All right. There he is. That's Greg Lumsden, the product lead there at Market Guide for Cargill, Davis. That is so close to my heart.
Yeah.
What we were talking about there.
Yeah.
Developing that, you know, it's kind of a purpose-driven marketing plan. That's what I was really searching for when I had that conversation with Greg. That's what it is. It's a purpose-driven marketing plan.
Right.
And I first started talking about this in 1998, Davis, when I did the first edition of a booklet called Making the Family Farm the Family Business.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Okay. Now, I wondered, we've done two or three updates to it. Paul Niefer, CPA at Clifton Farm Larson CPA. Allen, yep. helped me with the last update to it so that we could talk about some different business structures and so on, and what might fit your situation the best. And I was wondering, out of the blue during that conversation, while that conversation with Greg was playing, I went to farmjournal.com.
Uh-huh.
Looking for it to see if I could find it. If you click on Farm Journal Store,
yeah,
there's a special offer for it that pops right up in front of your face right
Hey-o.
Now. That is completely coincidental that happened.
Isn't that
something? But, making the family farm the family business. It's talking about, the fact that farming is not a lifestyle, but farming is a business that allows farmers to live the lifestyle that they want to live.
Wow.
And it's all about helping you do that. We're going to talk with Lillian Bowen next.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture is what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous 1 month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
First-generation farmers are a special breed. Farm Journal business editor Ana Lisa Laca helps these ag unicorns tell their story on a new podcast, The First Years.
It may have been hard, but there's a lot of good things that came out of it. A lot of time we spent together and our kids, I think, were better for it.
Join me each week as I chat with first-generation farmers and ranchers who have what it takes, grit and determination, to start from nothing.
The First Years with Ana Lisa Laca is available where you access your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, and now the new AgriTalk app.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Grow smart with Liberty Link and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
I'm talking with Dr. Matt Ruark. He is an associate professor of soil fertility and nutrient management at the University of Wisconsin. And we're talking about mycorrhizal fungi. It's getting more and more play in the past few years. Dr. Ruark, explain what it is.
With the mycorrhizal fungi, we abbreviate that AMF a lot of times. So arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi. So what it is, it's a fungi that live in the soil. And what it does, it has this symbiotic relationship with plants. So it's beneficial to the plant and it's beneficial for the organism. And so what it does, it actually lives inside the plant root. So it sets up shop in the plant root, and then grows out into the soil. The plant feeds the AMF, gives it a food source, and in return, the fungi explore the soil, bring in more nutrients, and maybe a little bit of water to the plant. So it's one of these beneficial symbiotic relationships that exist in nature.
That's very interesting. I mean, it helps that plant really do everything that it can do, and a lot of it comes down to the root development, right?
Yes, and so, I mean, it functions as a secondary root system. And the nice thing is, so all of the main grain crops that we grow in the U.S., have this, will allow this relationship. So on every corn and soybean and wheat plant in your field, the AMF is growing in their plant roots.
Okay, so a farmer is considering adding the AMF. What should they be thinking about before they do so?
It's a naturally occurring organism, but there could be a benefit to application. So in certain conditions, it may be beneficial to inoculate, so put it out with the seed. What they're trying to do here is they're trying to kind of load up that AMF right around the seed so you get that relationship to happen more quickly in the growing season. Now, there's conditions like if you have a lot of heavy tillage or long periods of fallow, those are the conditions where that your AMF populations might be a little bit low, and that might be a condition where maybe you could try out some of that inoculant.
Thank you so much. That is Dr. Matt Ruark from the University of Wisconsin.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
I'm Andrew McCray, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, farmer-focused podcast. It's all about production agriculture. Farming the Countryside is available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts and is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Hey, a couple of things here, Davis.
All right, let's take them one at a time.
All right, soybeans, they're adding on. It's a slow grind, but they are adding on. We've got that March contract now up 4.25 cents. So they are trying to push to the upside. And I got to do a shout out to @moo4ISU. Mm-hmm. He says that he shows that he's loading up the hopper and he's heading for Cedar Rapids. Getting back to what we talked about at the start of the show, that ADM in Cedar Rapids has got extended hours this morning. Got a basis push, so there is some demand for some corn in the hungriest corn town in the country. That would be Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Sending a shout out to @4ISU.
Yes,
is that right?
We are.
Have I got it right?
You got it exactly right. Exactly right. That's fantastic.
Training Thank a new you. Cow here. I feel like she did good.
She did well. She did well.
Nice work. Yeah.
Let's bring in Lillian Bowen. She is the Director of Recruitment at Nelson Academy of Agriculture Sciences Online. Lillian, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
You bet. So tell me, what is the Nelson Academy of Agriculture Sciences Online?
So we are a nationwide agriculture coursework program with over 25 different courses for middle, high school, and adult students. Our main goal is to provide agriculture education for students that don't have it available at the local level.
Okay. So, did you say middle school, high school,
yes,
and adult level?
Yes, sir. We have classes starting at a fifth grade reading level and going all the way through adult certification programs that can take you into a job.
Okay. So what kind of subject matter do you cover in this coursework?
So we have everything from equine science, one, okay, two, and three, plant science, crop science, the farm business management and financial planning courses. And we also have some ag careers and ag leadership courses as well.
Okay, so the ag careers and ag leadership courses, those are things that we would maybe consider, what, secondary level education courses?
Yes, so basically what those courses are doing is giving some younger students, so maybe 7th, 8th, 9th graders, the opportunity to explore the careers that are available,
okay,
in agriculture. Most people think right now that if you're in agriculture, you work on a farm and drive a tractor, and that couldn't be farther from the truth. So what we're trying to do is make sure that they understand there's over 300 careers available right now in agriculture.
And the one of the, and yeah, I'm going back to the College Roadshow that we did this fall, Lillian, where we went to Texas Tech, University of Missouri, Iowa State University, and Purdue. And we talked with the deans of the ag colleges at each of those universities. And it, without a doubt, they all talked about how they are hustling to meet the demand for graduates educated in the agricultural sciences. I mean, it's incredible how much demand there is for people that are trained in agriculture.
Yes, sir. Agriculture is one of the best careers that you can go in right now. If you visit agexplorer.net, which is through the National FFA Association, there is a plethora of knowledge on which jobs are in the highest demand and where you can get on-the-job training as well as taking courses like ours.
Right. Okay, you mentioned FFA. The thing that I thought when you were describing this, I thought maybe there was a little, is this a competitor to FFA or is this, how does that work?
No, we actually work with FFA. It's not a requirement of our students to be in an FFA program, but we're used across the country to start FFA programs by kids get interested in ag. They can't find a teacher for their school, so they take online classes with us, and their alumni in their school help them start an FFA chapter so that they can compete in district, state, and national events.
That's fantastic. I love hearing that, Lillian. That is really cool.
Yes, it's amazing how the agriculture community will come together when they need to.
Right, right. What's the cost?
Each course is $299. That's a 16-week course, which comes with a textbook and a teacher. But if you have trouble finding the $299, say your school won't pay for it, your homeschool student, I can call a local sponsor and see if they'll sponsor you to take the course.
So there's scholarship money available in a roundabout kind of way is what you're saying.
Yes, sir. And most of our sponsors are corporate sponsors. And what we do is we try to pair, if you're sponsored by a business, you go and do an internship with that business if they have that available.
So it, so that we're not gonna say that that's a debt to repay. That's another opportunity.
Yes, it is always an opportunity. It's an opportunity for that business as well as an opportunity for the student to gain the hands-on knowledge and experience they need so that they can excel later on if they decide to work for that company or if they decide to go into a different career in agriculture.
Right. Lillian, we're almost out of time here, and I feel like we're just scratching the surface of this. If a listener wants to get more information about the Nelson Academy of Agriculture Sciences, where do they go?
They can call me directly at 336-266-7542, or they can visit our website at www.allagonline.com.
AllAgOnline.com, or call Lillian, and the number, I think I got it right here, 336-266-7542.
Yes, that is correct, and I'll be happy to help with any questions that they might have.
Good stuff, Lillian. Thank you so much. We will talk with you soon.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. That is Lillian Bowen. She is the director of recruitment for Nelson Academy of Agriculture Sciences Online. Interesting
That's
stuff,
great.
Huh, Davis?
That's great. And by the way, side note, where did the time go?
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly right. Hey, come back this afternoon. We've got Brian Bassing from Advanced Trading on the second hour of AgriTalk.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Grow smart with Liberty Link and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with ProFarmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. ProFarmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Thanks to Miravis Neo Fungicide for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer today about pre-ordering Miravis Neo or visit the Miravis Neo webpage.